What's going on, people? Samuel here, and I'm back again with T Comforta. How you doing, T?
I'm as good as a duvet.
Tommy.
Sam?
I'm going to ask you that question again, because I don't know what that means.
Because a comforter is a duvet.
What? You have bars.
Open the door, close the door. I am so confused.
So what's happening? That's bars.
Thank you.
Welcome to Tribe, people. If you're new here, feel free to subscribe. Make this your home. We just talk about a bunch of stuff with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Related to our faith and all that good stuff. But T, I wanted to ask you before we start. Did you have something called morning devotion when you were growing up?
Good morning, Jesus.
Morning, Lord. Did you? So you had it.
100%. And it had to be a playlist.
Of tunes,
of
right?
Of songs.
It goes from Good Morning, Jesus. To I Will Enter His Gates. What's the next one for you?
Do you guys in the morning?
Early in the morning.
Oh, that's it.
In the morning.
Was that the few Yoruba songs thrown
okay,
in there?
Okay, your family did.
Yeah,
your mix.
We had the mix. We had the Yoruba mix. And also, yeah. I think what I remember most about morning devotion is you'll be falling asleep.
Yeah, nah.
It's and long. You just someone will just hit a note that would like startle you back.
Facts. I can't tell you how many times like I fell asleep during morning devotion and my mom like either drew my ear or like, you know, or pinched me.
Yeah.
Or like, but I honestly,
my mom used to like not do anything. And then it's during prayer that you start hearing your name. She'll start praying indirects. And then she'll do this thing where like, you come back after school.
Yeah.
You're sat, food is in front of you. You're eating, you're enjoying yourself. So you can enjoy yourself.
And you can't.
This morning, when we were praying.
Yo, they never let it go.
They never let it
no,
go.
No. They do you know what it is? I always have this thing. Yeah, this is just me though. Where morning devotion made me who I am. I cannot stress how praying with my family at the same time, every day, for about 10 years shaped me. Like, from when I can remember being alive, I was praying with my family at 5 a.m. every day.
Wow.
5, 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Or if it wasn't that, it was in the night. If we missed the morning, because I know, like, seasons change. Whether it was pops, mom, whoever, that now, before I go to bed or when I wake up in the morning, I feel weird.
Yeah.
When I haven't prayed. I feel weird when I'm about to go to sleep and I haven't spoken to God.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so beautiful to know that the thing that some of us hated,
some of us now just part of
now just part of us, and I think that's how it passes on to the generations.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like high key.
Oh, my children are gonna suffer through morning devotion.
No facts.
They might not suffer, but they're going
no,
like
my kids,
there's no way around it.
We'll be up at a specific time
every single day,
and we'll sing the same tunes.
It has to be a playlist. we might move some Maverick singing into it just to keep it hip for the kids, you know.
You are just imagine. Yo, that's cold. That's cold. Now, morning devotion was. I was gonna ask you as well.
Okay.
When did you come to the UK?
When I was like 8 years old.
So you came like, I was 4 years after you.
Okay.
So you had space.
Yeah.
What were some of the culture shocks?
Let me tell you the biggest one.
Okay.
So I was in Nigeria in December, so I experienced this again. You guys, we call it plastic bag. Nigerians call it nylon.
Nylon.
So I would go to a shop and I would ask them, can I have nylon? And they'll say, nylon. And you know the thing about being a Nigerian person is we don't describe things with our words, it's like
I think Nigerians are, we're trying to say nylon.
Yeah,
I'm saying,
but it's nylon.
That was huge for me. The other huge thing for me was the bread.
Thank you.
The bread was like, what is
I remember my mom got us white bread. She was like, oh, we'll go to us. I even thought, wow, so nice.
Yeah.
What? The biggest culture shock was when I had brown bread, because I was like, why are people doing this to themselves?
Is brown bread worse?
It's so bad.
Is it? But it's health. It's a healthy alternative.
Is it? Is it worth it?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like brown rice. Is it really worth it? In the grand scheme of things.
When all is said and done. Yeah. Is it worthy? No, I don't think so.
When you stand before Jesus and you knew that it was brown rice that you were making, what would you say to him?
I don't even know what brown rice or stew looks like. I don't want to picture it.
I tried it once and I just...
Yeah, I don't get it.
It takes too long to cook.
Does it?
Yeah, it takes really long to cook and then you can't get the texture out of it.
Right.
It's just...
Nah.
I mean, there are people going through it and...
Yeah.
Kudos to them.
I mean, hey, big ups yourself. If you eat brown bread, brown rice, listen, Jesus loves you.
It's...
Like, absolutely. Like, yeah. Absolutely.
It doesn't... It's not a contention in faith, is it? It's not a salvation.
It's not a heresy. It's actually fine.
It's okay.
It's actually fine.
We'll suspect you.
I will 100%... Yeah.
But it's okay.
I'll suspect... I was just looking at it. Yeah. But you better recognize. But for me, bread was like a big thing. Because I remember I used to be a big fan of bread and stew.
Oh.
I literally used to have bread and stew.
Yeah.
But I used to be one of those people that I'd never used to eat the outside of the bread. I used to go straight inside.
You have to go into the middle.
Oh.
You have to enter the middle.
God be praised.
And you have to scoop it.
You know, boy. That bread and stew was a thing. And I remember coming to the UK and I said to myself, I'm about to have the best bread and stew in my whole life, because the UK bread is about to change my life. Hovis? And I was like, I don't even. And then we had King's, is it King's Mill?
Yeah.
Nah, none of it was. Now, there's an African store, thankfully, in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And I just got, please give me a gig of bread.
Please.
Sweet bread.
Yeah.
I literally beg you. But that was another one. One that actually is not spoken about enough was calling people by their first names. Especially people who are older than me.
Like you're bringing back memories.
Told me till today, I'm still struggling with that one.
It's not that. Shall I tell you what the worst thing was? Mm-hmm. First day of school, I knelt down for my teacher. First day of school. Also, I didn't grow up in, like, let's say I moved from, like, somewhere like Lagos to Nigeria. Lagos to the UK. It's a calm transition. But I moved from Ekiti.
Did you?
I moved from Ekiti.
So you came from culture.
So, like, yeah, I didn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely knelt down for my teachers.
That's understood.
The first day, and then they called in my mom because they didn't understand why they'd asked me to stop multiple times and I just kept insisting on kneeling down. Oh, they literally called in my mom.
Oh, you're actually such like they call it homely
Yoruba woman.
I love it. Like, not calling, even I've got someone called Chibs, like he's like my guy. Like, I had to start calling him Uncle C. Like, he's not even that much older than me. He's just older than me. If you're older than me, it doesn't matter by 1 year, 2 year, like, your mom will be like, that's your uncle.
Yeah.
I call him uncle. Like, I could not stomach it. Especially when I went to the workplace and they were like, this guy is 60s.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve. My name's Jim.
Yeah.
I can't. Sorry, sir. Or just something. Yeah. It was too hard for me, man.
But I think it's now more difficult because now I've adjusted to it. Going back to Nigeria is so difficult because when I was there, I was calling people by their names and they were looking at me like, am I your mitts? Someone was like, the UK has spelled
every small thing. The UK has spelled
you over there.
No, facts. What else?
The only thing
I could think of that is more like faith-based is the service times in the UK being like considerably shorter.
Yeah.
And by considerably, I mean
1 hour, 30 minutes, you're out of there.
Ah, pim, pam, pam. Pim, pam, pam.
Praise and worship.
Uh-huh.
Offering. They give that little offering word of why we should give. Also, that's a shock to me.
That is good.
That time of offering just being like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You guys don't come to the
front.
You don't dance.
No.
You give the first offering. That's the offering of Thanksgiving. Church fund. That's the offering of the community. You don't have to do a special one of people that want to give their tithes, because that way you have to stand up.
That's with your envelope.
With your envelope.
Facts.
You have to stand up.
That one
up
is the deeper one. Absolutely.
They need to pray over your first seed. Give that one. And then there's now Thanksgiving
offering,
which is like the people who, like, let's say something good, maybe like a child, whatever. You have to come out for that offering as well.
Growing up in Nigeria, there was about 3 or 4.
Yeah.
There genuinely were about, offering time was such, and in the church I grew up in, we had testimony time and then offering time. So you just know that an hour
is, do you know what I miss?
Is just together.
What I really miss is when you go to a church service, and I'm going to make this testimony short.
Oh, yeah.
But I told God that before I start this testimony, I must sing.
Oh,
I must sing a
song. Why don't I look? Listen, my aunties, man. Please.
I told God that if He does this for me,
I'll come up and
sing this specific song that takes at least 4 minutes to sing.
Do you know, as a musician as well, who's grown up in church, there's nothing more scary than hearing an auntie say, "There's a song that's on my heart, Jesus." Jesus.
You have to look at the key.
Oh, no. The thing is, now it's triggering like serious PTSD because I remember so many a time where it's just been like, "Auntie, I don't know what's about to come out of your mouth right now." But sometimes they can't sing.
Yeah.
They don't understand the awareness that people are just waiting for you to get to. What's your name and what has the Lord done for you in 2 minutes, please?
No, never.
Nah, testimony time.
That's your time to shine.
That is it. No, fact. Have you given testimony church?
Once. I never did it again. My mom forced me to.
Why are young people like?
What, opposed to giving testimony?
Yeah.
Because we don't have 20 minutes test. It's a calm thing. This week, I got a new job. God is good. Yeah.
You reckon? Because you know what? In testimony time, now I'm deep in it. I rarely see people who are around my age come to the front.
But I don't think it's because we're not grateful. We are grateful. We just don't have the culture of public acknowledgement of being grateful. It's a prime, like, let's say I got a new job. I might call my friend to be like, "Oh my God, God did this thing. I got a new." But why does the entire
church
need to know? Like,
I don't know, man. But who's gonna? So see, our parents' generation, they're not like phasing out. That's not but they're not gonna be in church forever.
Yeah.
We're now gonna be the aunties and uncles. So we need to get into the culture of not just privately, but publicly saying, "Praise the Lord, praise, ha ha ha." We need to get in the habit of saying, "Brethren, around 5 years ago, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if you are," we need to get enough, because there's something beautiful. We're joking, right? Mm-hmm. But there's something beautiful about telling people what God has done for you and the church acknowledging that God is still able. Because testimony time is actually one of my favorite times at church.
Really?
Because sometimes people come up with, there's some things that sound like Nollywood scripts.
Yeah.
But they're people's lives.
Oh, yeah.
Someone will say, "This happened," and then you think that's the end. Mm-hmm. And then this happened. And then before you know it, that happened. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse. And the way God
turns
everything around. Mm. There's a few songs that I've literally gotten from testimony times with people, like, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think we need to practice family, especially for our dear uncles and aunties. Please, if it's 2 minutes,
give.
Please.
And make sure to give. Do you know what I love most about testimony time is the scriptures that they come with. That they're not everyday scriptures.
No.
When the Lord restored the captivity
of Zion,
we were like men that dreamt.
Them that dreamt.
Where else is this? Where else is this scripture?
What's that one that it says? The sons of. They understood the times of seasons.
This is gonna
bug me.
It's always those Old Testament ones that's the time that all those scriptures come out.
No, it is beautiful.
It's nice.
It's beautiful.
When you think about it.
I once heard this is where I wanted to land on, actually. I once heard someone come to church one time, and they were talking about the fact that they had an illness, bad illness, but it didn't start off bad. It, like, it morphed into other things, but it was kind of like underlying heart problems, basically. And they were so adamant that they were not going to take medication.
Okay.
So you see what I'm saying? So the long story short, God healed this person. I was there just looking at the thing, and I was like, all right, cool. Like,
this God, is a risky game.
Yo, like, hey, God healed you, but you could have just taken
the medication.
Yeah, like, it, that does not. And it's, and I think what people sometimes feel is taking medication is a sign of a lack of faith, which I disagree with totally.
Yeah.
Or sometimes if you take medication, that means it's not God who's healed you, it's the medicine that's healed you. And so I'm just so against it. I think our generation, we're blessed because we're a lot more enlightened with the benefits. We take the benefits from what God has given and dropping in other people. And we're going, yes, I'm going to pray. But I'm going to take it. If I have a headache right now, first thing I'm doing is say, Lord, I've got a headache. Please heal me. But then I will reach into my pocket.
And get paracetamol.
And I'll get Panadol.
Panadol extra.
Extra advanced. that's the one I take.
Yeah.
I'll reach into my pocket and I'll get it. And you know what? When the headache eventually goes, I'm going, thank you, Lord, for healing.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't know. What do you think about when you hear stuff like that? And it's like, there have been a lot of people, unfortunately, who have passed away.
Yeah, from those. I think it's
taking meds.
I think it's a dangerous game. I struggle to see the reason, because I feel like it's the same thing. Your body needs something. Usually, medicine and stuff like that is your body is depleted of something, and it's sort of supplementing that thing most of the time.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you don't eat enough, I don't know, spinach, you're not going to get enough iron. So you might need iron supplements, for example. Those are normal, everyday, natural things. And I think that the older you get, the more responsible you have to, like, your body is a temple, you have to be responsible for it. So we can talk about exercise and all of those things in a bit. But in terms of this, I think that people have spent time studying, going to school.
Talk about it.
It's not that you wake up one day and you say, oh, I want to be a doctor. Let me tell you, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a doctor. I did. And then I looked into where it looked like to become a doctor.
Yeah.
I said,
it was a long day.
It's okay.
It was a long day.
I like marketing instead. let's do that. Do you get, like, I have friends who are doctors. It's not a small thing. It's not a wake up one day and decide to be. There are courses that you have to do. There are things. I think you have to keep learning. Facts. I have friends that are doctors that I'm going away from this for this seminar because there's this new discovery that there's so.
It's evolving.
It's evolving. And I think that part of that is God's grace. Like, why wouldn't you use that? Why wouldn't you, the same way you would use water that comes out of your tap, would it not be faith to run and go and find a well somewhere to go and fetch it? Like, we have technology, and God has allowed there to be advancements in technology medicine and all of these things.
That's good. So I think the
wouldn't trust in him actually be to use it?
Absolutely. And I believe that if you're praying to God for healing, you're also praying to God for resourceful people to give you the information to be healed.
Yeah.
And doctors, by every metric, are more than severely, incredibly capable of saying, oh, this is what's wrong with you. Oh, you should take this. Factually, this will solve this.
Yeah.
And for me, I think a lot of, maybe not our generation, which is a great thing, because I hear, often have this conversation with people who are maybe older than me, who, in their case, because they will come and say, dude, I have seen God move. I have seen firsthand radical miracles of God touching lives, and I wanted to test my faith. I want to be a part of that. And for us, I think the age that we've grown up in, our age is kind of like, we saw the internet kind of come to its thing. We kind of grew up with it a little bit, but we also played outside.
Yeah.
So we're kind of in the middle ground. The ones below us, they're fully like, yo, I'm ill. Where's the it's also fine.
Yeah.
It's not a lack of faith to take medication, because God heals through medicine,
yeah,
and God heals through people.
Yeah.
And it's for me on that topic, when I say God heals through people, he heals through your doctor. Going to your doctor and getting sound advice is, in my opinion, because I don't separate the two. I think God is sovereign enough to give a doctor not just the book knowledge that they know,
yeah,
but the spontaneous in the moment insight to your specific situation, yeah, to now say, here's this drug. And it's now going away and say, yeah, God, no, that was you, because thank you for bringing this doctor, because he orchestrates everything for
absolutely
our healing.
Everything.
So that's why it bugs me when people are so reluctant to go take stuff when they're clearly in need of it.
Not just that, but I think that sometimes with Christianity, we can be so lazy with things like how we eat and exercise and stuff. And I'll put my hand that's up good. And say, I can't lie to you. I say this, but bring red velvet cake right here and now.
it's game over.
But generally, I think that we, being around people from different races and all of those things, and show me that within our, a lot of Black culture, something we don't talk about a lot is exercising and eating well, and the content of fat in our food and all of those things. Like, we just season to the ancestors say stop, but we don't think about, oh, you added salt. You're making, let's say you're making, you season to the ancestors say that's enough. Yeah, there's no, like, you're not measuring it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're making jollof, you've added Maggi, which is salt. You've added salt on top of it. You're adding
nom.
Like, it's a lot of sodium that we consume. The other day, someone was like, oh, check the amount of salt in Indomie. I was like,
Indomie is in danger as well?
Yeah.
Okay, that's crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, it hasn't stopped anything for me personally, but it's good to know.
It's good to be aware of it. Yeah,
But I do think that there is a part of your body being in temple that you're looking after it. And I love that even the Bible talks about exercising, like it being beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the greatest exercise that we can do is running the race of Christ. Yes. But still exercise, still actually look after your body, look after what you're consuming and how you're moving through life, because it's so important. Mm-hmm. I want to say something, but I feel like if it's thing, you can cut it out.
Yeah, no. Talk about it.
There are certain pastors that are extremely overweight, and I can't, like, it bugs me.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't bug me for any other reason more than I just sometimes think, how are you stewarding your body, and how are you teaching your congregation to steward their body?
That's really good.
Because sometimes there are other reasons attached to it and all of those things.
Yeah.
But I think it's not just one thing, it's the whole picture of it. Mm-hmm. Like, as a church community, why don't we have things like running clubs where we all go running together? Facts. Or just, yeah, I feel like it's when we declare a fast that all of us become aware of our food. And we're like, oh, I'm not going to, I'm not going to eat this, but yeah, like, it goes into everything.
This is, I feel like we're going to have this conversation again in, like, much greater, because I think healing and medication and being and wellness.
Yeah.
Like
that's, you said, even a thing.
That's another thing.
Like Christians, when we talk about things like meditation, we're not talking about the not like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about solitude and being quiet and reading God's word and sitting there in silence and thinking about his word and meditating on it, that is a normal part of something that actually it helps your brain.
It helps.
It's scientific.
Yeah,
like
we
shouldn't have the noise of social media and all of these things 24/7. We need times of silence and solitude and all of
those
things.
No, you're talking it. You're talking the facts. You're talking.
But we hear meditation and we're like, no, it's all of these.
Or we hear therapy.
Yeah.
And we go, hey, what? I'm a child of God.
I don't have any trauma.
I don't have trauma. Like, no. It's like, no, for real. The amount of the amount of Christians
that need therapy,
who probably need therapy for a lot of things, because that they haven't dealt with,
yeah,
is severely high.
Because why are you shouting at me? Because I don't want to sit somewhere on a Sunday.
Yo. That just sounds like a personal experience. I don't know what happened there, Tommy.
I know that we deviated a bit, but like
No, facts.
Genuinely, sometimes...
No, talk about it.
Sometimes I meet... I remember, you know, once I was at this conference. It was a women's conference, and we were praying for each other. And I was praying for this lady. And she said to me, so that I don't know why, but I just get so angry.
Mm.
And I just, like... It's to the point where, like, I just blank out, and then when I just come back to myself, and I've done something that I shouldn't have done.
Wow.
And it's like, it just takes over her. Wow. And she's like, I don't know why. I was just asking her questions, and she started crying, and she was like, oh, I think it's linked to this thing that happened to me when I was like 11 that I haven't spoken about and I've never told anyone about before. Mm. And I was just like, yeah, I think there might be a link there.
No,
and I think therapy might be helpful. Absolutely. You know, like,
absolutely.
I think it's nice even just to sit and talk about your feelings with someone.
Mm.
I know for men, you can comment on the men, because men, you'll be like,
oh, that's a whole different.
How are you feeling? Fine. How's your day? Good. How was work today?
Facts.
Good.
Yeah. This topic makes me... it makes my heart bleed sometimes because it's amazing how many people you meet, and from what they've just said to you, you're just like, you're in need of a lot of healing right now. Like, this, what you're doing right now, or they're so used to the way their lives have been that they don't realize that there's even a problem.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a lot going on there, and it takes someone external sometimes to listen to you talk and help you walk through it. God heals through therapy.
Yeah.
God heals through meditation.
Absolutely.
Like, God heals through medicine.
Yeah.
God heals through people.
Yeah.
And this is why me saying God heals through people is so important, because if you don't realize that someone else can be a tool by which you get healing or breakthrough, you will never go for therapy.
It's true.
You will never go to the doctor.
Yeah.
You will never even open up to people around you. If you don't realize that this is why someone asked me, like, what's the whole point of tribe?
Yeah.
Tribe is understanding that there's more than one person who's doing this walk of faith.
Yeah.
And the reason is because we're meant to lean on each other.
Yeah.
It's very important for Christians to realize that if you're saying God is sovereign, then the fact that he can use anyone and anything to heal you is not excluded from that sovereignty.
Yeah.
It's included in it. And that's what I think. So I think a lot of us need to look after our physical, mental, spiritual health.
Yes.
Sometimes for the Christian, spiritual health is like here.
Yeah, it's like...
right there.
Mm-hmm.
Mental health can be below the floor.
Yeah.
But because someone is spiritually healthy...
doesn't mean... And that's why, again...
talk about it.
Feel free to cut this out. But that's why we have pastors that are narcissists.
Talk about it.
And are taking advantage of people in their congregation.
Talk about it.
Or that don't know how to handle responsibility and power with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to handle finances with integrity. And a lot of people are facing the backlash of that. Whereas actually this can be solved with therapy and counseling. Like,
absolutely.
A lot of this.
Absolutely.
Or even sometimes it's just someone being able to hold up a mirror to you and say, this is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wait, I didn't know that was something I struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple thing, but for example, I was having a conversation with one of my friends, and he was reading something out loud to me. And I was like, and the way he read it was weird. And I was like, oh, have you ever thought about the way that you read things? And he went to go get checked, and he was like, I actually have dyslexia.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, I've struggled with this for years. Like, he used to get, because he grew up in Nigeria and then moved here for uni.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I used to get beaten through school in Nigeria because they just used to say to me, you can't understand anything.
Oh,
whereas I just see words differently. Like, things move around for me in a way that it doesn't for other people.
Mm.
And he was like, there's just so much freedom in knowing that because I have this, I can then look at ways to help myself around it. That's why, you know, when people do like counseling and all of these things, the first step is acknowledgement.
Yeah.
But you can't acknowledge what you don't
talk about.
Know
it.
That you
talk
have.
About it. There's a verse that every time I read it, it makes me smile.
Okay.
Because it was a prayer. It's from 3 John 2. It says, "Beloved," I love when
beloved, when dearly when beloved. Study,
when the scripture says the beloved, you know, it's sweet. It says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. even as thy soul prospereth. Wow. So it's like there is a natural beauty that's taking place as we've now come to Christ. There's a natural sort of like progressive, soul prospering, peaceful sort of like sanctification. Yeah. Like we're progressively being better and being made more and more like Christ spiritually.
Yeah.
Just like, I love how it says, I hope, I wish above all else that, you know, you prosper and be in health, good health, good health. So it's understanding as a believer, you have a responsibility, like you rightly put it, to look after your temple.
Yeah.
And it's coming to a space where you go, what does my body need?
Yeah.
If, like, it's okay to take vitamins.
Yes.
It's okay to take supplements. It's okay. It's okay if you're hurting, go see a doctor.
Yeah.
God hears your prayers. This is us not saying
something else.
Yeah.
Go to the dentist.
Well, amen. let's talk about it. God, like this is all health. This is all health and wellness stuff. And this is not us saying that God isn't supernatural enough to heal just like that, because he still, I believe, and I guess it's important for us to say this, that God's power is so prevalent in this world today.
Yeah.
We will see miracles. We will see signs and wonders. We will see all of those things. But also, the fact that God used medication to heal you doesn't make it any less a sign or a wonder.
Right. Exactly.
And I think we need to understand that just because it's not supernatural doesn't mean it's not God.
Yeah.
It jars me when people shy away from things that seem very human.
Yeah.
In the name that, no, if I'm using my own strength or someone told me to do the right thing, that means it's not God being supernatural. It's like God is both in the mundane,
absolutely,
as he is in the extraordinary, and that's the God I serve.
Yeah.
And it's understanding that. So folks, please, any last words, T?
I think that what comes to mind is for people who are struggling with their health, and I mean this in more in a sense where, like, you know, you're let's say overweight or all of those things, or even underweight, and you're struggling with being healthier, that's actually something that you can pray about. That's something that
absolutely
you can actually bring to God, and that's something that you can bring to community and start to work out with a plan of how do I get back to where I need to be, or how do I even start progressing towards that stage, because it's really, really important, I think. And I know that there's a lot of pressures with social media and all of those things to look a certain way. But let's move away from looking a certain way and move towards what that scripture says. Be healthy.
Be healthy.
Yeah.
Even as your soul prospers.
Yeah.
Alright, tribe, we love you, man. Look after yourself. Look after people around you as well. Like, learn to spot things in people as well. Like, we're all called to a life of beauty in Christ Jesus, but that doesn't exclude our physical bodies. Till next time, peace.